Right, our reading this morning is from Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 13. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have no food to offer him.' And I suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me, the door is already locked and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or he asks for an egg, will you give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Now, Peter's going to come up now and lead the next bit of the sermon. So before he does that, let's just pray for him. Father, just like when Chris is here, we pray now for Peter. We pray that you will be with him and he will really feel your spirit very close to him. Give him the words to say, I pray. And Father, by what you say through him, will bless us all here this morning. Amen.
I sometimes have a recurring dream, which I call the preacher's dream. And actually, it's more like a nightmare, because what it is I find myself maybe in a massive church, hundreds of people, and they're all there, and I'm about to preach, and I haven't got my notes, and I don't know where they are, and there's all this sense of panic, and I almost had that this morning, because I went and sat at the back, and I thought, where have I put my notes? But I left them on here and I couldn't see them. And I thought, oh no. So I came out to have a look. But kindly, Ant, I think, had put them just behind there. So I've got... The nightmare is over. I'd like to begin with some words from Psalm 145 and then pray. "The Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving towards all he has made. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. So, Lord, we pray that you will draw near to us now. Help us to hear what you are saying to us through your word. Amen." Okay, so this is the third and final part of our series, Jesus Teaching on Prayer, which has been focused on Jesus' response to the disciples saying, Lord, teach us to pray. The heart of which has always been the Lord's Prayer. Before he went away the previous time, 2 or 3 weeks ago, Chris gave me an outline of what Kevin would preach on and what he would preach on, which was most of the two very similar passages in Matthew 6 and the one we've just read, Luke 11. And then Chris said, that leaves Luke 11, 5 to 8 for you to focus on before you bring the series home. Luke 11, 5 to 8 is the only bit that I actually decided I didn't really want to preach on. So here we are. I should start by confessing that I do not consider myself in the slightest to be a prayer warrior or to be particularly worthy or qualified to be preaching on prayer. There was a point long ago in my Christian journey when I stopped buying and reading books on prayer because they just left me feeling inadequate. I felt I simply couldn't, wouldn't, or didn't do what they said in the books. I didn't pray often enough, long enough, deeply enough, or persistently enough. Martin Luther famously said, "I have so much to do today that I shall spend the first 3 hours in prayer." John Wesley is reputed to have spent 4 hours a day in prayer. What? I reckoned if I managed 4 minutes, I was doing well. Being a fan of C.S. Lewis, I was comforted to see his response to a letter in the Times asking, "How might a busy person pray?" Lewis responded, "A busy person may pray sitting on the toilet." Does it help anyone to know that I've found myself doing that on numerous occasions? I'd like to emphasise that now, some 50 years later, my prayer life is somewhat improved. So on that note, let's try and bring the series home, as Chris says. Prayer is a profound mystery. It can be liturgical, it can be ritual, it can be casual, it can be desperate. Prayer is not one size fits all. There are many kinds of prayer and many ways to pray in many different circumstances and for many different reasons. I think Kevin dealt with that very well in the first part of this series. The reality is that prayer is deeply personal and deeply relational. It's a meeting of minds. The vast, unimaginable mind of Almighty God and my tiny, imperfect and often uncomprehending mind. Yet, God's will and purpose is that there should be dialogue, conversation, sharing between him and me, and him and you. As Chris said in part two, prayer is about relationship. We've been given permission to approach Almighty God as Father and a friend. So, after giving his disciples the model of the Lord's Prayer, Jesus tells this parable. Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to give him." And suppose the one inside answers, "Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything." I tell you, even though he will not get up to give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. God is the friend here. You and I are standing in the street in our pajamas trying to get a response. What follows in Jesus' teaching, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking, is a commentary and an explanation of that parable. The man gets his bread because of his shameless persistence. He goes on and on asking and knocking. The Messianic Jew, David Stern, in his Jewish New Testament commentary, says that the Hebrew Yiddish word chutzpah carries the same connotations. He says chutzpah means boldness, audacity, effrontery, insolence, gall, brazen nerve, presumption, arrogance, persistence, and just plain guts. Now, perhaps we wouldn't dream of applying some of those words to our way of approaching God. I try not to be too insolent when I'm talking to God. remember that the prayer book which Jesus grew up with was the book of Psalms. And some of those psalms, some of those prayers are more than audacious. They're outrageous. If you look at some of the things that the psalmists prayed for, I mean, I'm not going to go into them, but just read through the book of Psalms, you'll see them. Jesus is saying we don't need to be timid and apologetic in our prayers. We're allowed, even expected, to be bold, persistent, and even audacious, to pray with chutzpah. Further on in Luke's Gospel, in chapter 18, Jesus tells another parable. It says this: then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. It's really a very similar parable. This is the parable of the widow who kept on and on pestering a judge until he finally relented and ruled in favour of her case. The Lord went on to say, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. The key word in both of these parables is perseverance. Yet another reminder of the key word in our year text. It's down there somewhere. Yep. Jesus wants and expects his followers to pray and not give up. However, I think that for many people, prayer can be a battleground. John Stott writes about what he calls the battle of the prayer threshold. He says, to help me persevere in prayer, I imagine a very high stone wall with God on the other side, waiting for me. The only way through is a tiny door. Outside the door is the devil with a drawn sword ready to stop me. It's at this point that we need to defeat him in the name of Christ. Many of us give up before we've even tried to fight this battle. The enemy does not want us to pray. Chris spoke about knocking on spiritual doors, removing the blockages that we sometimes face. James, in his letter, writes, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you.
George Muller, well known for his work amongst the orphans in Bristol, said, "There is not a more blessed and powerful weapon for the children of God than that they should give themselves to prayer." Prayer is a weapon against the enemy. I like this prayer, which was recently used in Lectio 365. I know not everybody uses Lectio 365, but it's a very helpful daily reminder and a prayer, a means of prayer. And this prayer was used recently. It says, "Holy Spirit, give me the authority and wisdom to know how to battle in prayer for more of your presence. Renew my expectation that the truth of your word, the reality of eternity, and the glory of life eternal are mine in Christ. Breathe new life into my relationship with you today. Amen." I think that's a powerful prayer. Authority and wisdom to know how to battle in prayer for more of your presence, Lord. I've come to know that the thing we need most in prayer and in our lives is the realization of the presence of God. Never used to really think about this very much, but recently it seems to be coming in more and more. We've experienced it here, and it's in a lot of the things that you may read and follow. It's our relationship with him. The Lord is here. He's with us always, as he promised. He hears us, he's interested, and he wants to be involved in every part of our lives. Our prayers, your prayers, matter to him. Those of you who do use Lectio will be familiar with this daily prayer. "As I enter prayer now, I pause to be still, to breathe slowly, to recenter my scattered senses upon the presence of God." I love that. Recenter my scattered senses upon the presence of God. How many times do you come into prayer and your senses are scattered? You're all over the place. You start off to pray and suddenly you're thinking about a shopping list, or you're thinking about what you're going to do tomorrow, or you're wondering where something is, and you just lose focus. And it says, "Recenter my scattered senses upon the presence of God." When we struggle to pray, we need to remember that God has given us his protection, his armor against the enemy. He's armed us with truth, salvation, righteousness, the gospel of peace, faith, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And finally, as Paul writes in Ephesians 6, immediately after that teaching on the whole armor of God, "And pray at all times in the Spirit, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, keep alert with all perseverance and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." Did you count how many "alls" there were in there? All this, all that, always. And then, in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, Paul takes perseverance a step further when he says, "Pray continually, pray without ceasing." How do we pray without ceasing? Confronted with this, you might think Paul is making impossible demands. But on reflection, if we've received the Holy Spirit, which we persistently prayed for, and if the Lord is with us always, which we believe he is, then what is to stop us from being in continual conversation with him? You can pray when you're riding your bike. You can pray when you're out for a run or walking the dog. You can pray when you're washing up or peeling potatoes or walking round the garden or lying in bed. Paul's praying continuously isn't really burdensome. It's actually liberating. You don't have to go to a special place or be in a special position or actually kneeling down or anything like that. You can pray anywhere, at any time, in any situation. We can communicate with God anytime, anywhere, long or short. The Lord is with us and he hears. Please don't think I'm trivialising prayer. Prayer is the deepest, most personal, most powerful and wonderful thing about having a relationship with the living God. The creator of the universe humbles himself to enter into a conversation with me and you. Prayer is companionship with the Lord. If we're following Jesus, if we're surrendered to him, if we're painfully, slowly becoming more like him, then there is a sense in which our whole life is prayer. With the Lord's Prayer, Jesus gives us a model around which to build our daily prayer life. We glorify God. We seek his kingdom. We pray for our daily needs. We seek and offer forgiveness. And we ask for spiritual protection. Thanksgiving is important. Our daily bread is important. Interceding for others is important. But Jesus goes on to say that the thing we should ask and go on asking for, seek and go on seeking for, knock and go on knocking until we get it, what we really need above all else is the Holy Spirit. Paul emphasized this in his letter to the Ephesians. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. The same grammatical structure is used there as is used for asking, seeking, and knocking. It literally means be being filled. Be filled and go on. Being filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, if we know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? If you're asking for the Holy Spirit, if you're wanting the Holy Spirit in your life, ask him and you'll receive the Holy Spirit. In fact, I actually believe that pretty well everybody here is already filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not something we need to worry about, have I got him or have I not got him, or is he here or isn't he here? We believe that as followers of Jesus, we have received the Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of truth, who helps and inspires and enables our praying. Paul wrote to the Christians in Rome, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Sometimes we find ourselves, we just don't know what to pray. You get a situation and it just seems so big. You just think, how on earth do I pray for this? I don't know what the right thing is to pray. But God does, the Holy Spirit does. And he groans. He groans about those things that we find so difficult to pray for. Groans too deep for words. So Jesus is teaching on prayer, reflected by the other New Testament writers, is basically this: to seek the Holy Spirit. Then to give thanks to God constantly for his blessings, to confess our sins and failings, to intercede for our broken world and our friends in need, and to give him praise and worship because he is worthy. Already sung that this morning, he is worthy. And all this is in accordance with and obedience to his word and under the guidance and inspiration of his Holy Spirit. And all with perseverance. And now I do want to bring this home. Ant's already mentioned this, but I've been immensely moved, encouraged and inspired by the response of our church family, particularly through the church WhatsApp group, to the request for prayer from Stephanie for her daughter Leanne. It's been powerful, it's been creative, and it's been persevering. Day after day after day, there have been messages. Stephanie's been giving an update, and then there's message after message after message. We're praying, we're praying, we're praying. One of the creative suggestions made was to play the worship song, I Speak Jesus, as a form of prayer. And so I'd like to close by using the words of that song as a prayer. I'm changing the I into we to signify our togetherness as part of God's family here. So I'm going to just go through some of these words and let's take it as a prayer that we pray together. Lord, we just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind, because we know there is peace within your presence. We speak Jesus. We just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. We speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. We just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety. To every soul held captive by depression, we speak Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, Jesus for our family. We speak the holy name. Jesus. Yes and amen. Amen.